Corn peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I am Mike Lawson, and joining me in the dugout, my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, what's up? It's good to be back.
We will be getting Chris Suka on the bullpen phone a little later in the episode. He tied up at the moment, but we'll get him on to chat. All sorts of stuff happening in baseball. I mean, it's a long-ass season, and of course there's going to be stuff happening on a regular basis.
Always
some good, some
about.
Bad.
Came in this morning and Jared was like, are you sure there's anything to actually talk about? And I'm like, Jared, there's always something to talk about.
I mean, there's this many teams, this many games.
There's always something to talk about.
This many people. Some good, some bad. Let's start with the good. Let's tip our caps to Albert Pujols, a no-doubt first ballot Hall of Famer who becomes the third player to hit 2,000 RBIs. Did it on a homer.
Yep.
Really nice. It's funny because I think, didn't Jeter hit like...
His 3,000th hit was a homer.
His 3,000th hit was a homer. I like when that lines up, that it's not some like dribbler gap single or something.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Yeah, I kind of agree. Even though like...
I mean, whatever. How you got
my favorite record-breaking hit of all time is Ichiro's single season one, and that was kind of a dribbler gap.
I mean, but that's emblematic of like, that's what that guy did.
Correct.
Right?
Like, yeah, yeah. So, like, Pujols hitting a home run is very emblematic of what Albert Pujols used to be.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is a much depleted Albert Pujols at this point. I mean, we've certainly made allusions to that gigantic albatross of a contract that he represents for the A's at this point.
Yeah,
Angels,
and
rather.
Shout out to Foolish Baseball and Baseball Bits, if you've ever seen that on YouTube. It's a really interesting show that kind of combines, like, he does, like, awesome pixel artwork, but, like, talks about really nutty things in baseball. Mm. And his latest video is about how Albert Pujols is too slow to play in the major leagues.
Well, okay, I haven't, like, seen any timing on, like, his, you know, home to first stats.
Well, that's some of the things he talks about.
There are definitely some other guys that are currently in the major leagues who are younger than him, who haven't had the injury history he's had.
Yeah.
Who I would say he's on par with.
Yeah. That's one of the things he talks about is that just like in general, like there are a lot of guys who are too slow, but Pujols is like really too slow. And yeah, he pulls out StatCast data to back it all up and everything like that. And it's a shame because like Pujols was on pace to be, you know, he was basically Mike Trout before Mike Trout, except obviously not playing center field, mm-hmm. right? Like he hit video game numbers. Like he was one of the best hitters of all time for a 10-year stretch. And then he just kind of, he hit the Angels. He got plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And just kind of disappeared.
Foot injuries. And I mean, this is a thing. He was not necessarily a runner. Like he
never,
could,
but.
You know, steal a few bases, but. So much power, like this is like
you build
it's
your
the
stance.
Trunk, right?
You build
it's from,
your stance
it's from the
feet
foot up.
Up.
And when you start messing with guys' feet, you'll see
problems. Right?
Problems develop, and so he's lost some of that pop. His bat speed is a little slower because I think you know like the way he's planting himself just doesn't lend itself to like quick twitch kind of responses. No. And yeah, it's just it's unfortunate because he really seems to have kind of fallen off a cliff in some sense. And like you said, this was like a Troutian kind of career. I mean, even still, right? Like he's only 86 RBIs behind A-Rod. I don't think he's going to reach Hank Aaron's 2297. So just
no, I think it's really unlikely.
But conceivably, if he plays this season and next, because he's 39 now, if he plays into his year 40.
The problem is, right?
Because his contract lasts beyond that, right? I think it's right. The 10-year deal that lasts till he's like 42.
Correct.
If I'm mistaken.
Correct. There's no way he'll get that far. But like the rest of this season and next season and maybe even the season after, like where do you see the Angels playing him, right? They've got up very much an everyday DH with the exception of the one start in Shohei Ohtani, who is a much better hitter than Pujols at this point.
Yeah, it's a better batter. I mean, that's
and
the thing.
You can't play him at first. He can't field anymore because he doesn't have the
mobility.
He doesn't have the mobility.
Yeah, no, it's a tough spot. I'm just curious about, like, you know, 40 more RBIs this year. Is that doable?
I don't know. That's the crazy thing. I don't know.
Like, I'm curious if he could get to 2,100. Like, if 100 between this year and the next is, like, not crazy, but...
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know whether or not it is or isn't crazy. Like, I just can't even... I just... You know, it's just been two stark differences. It's Albert Pujols being bad for most of my adulthood and Albert Pujols being incredible for most of my childhood. So it's just... It's weird, you know?
Last year, in 498 plate appearances, so obviously not like a full load.
Right.
He hit 64 RBIs. He has 18 so far this season in 137 plate appearances.
Right.
So like similar kind of pace, I would say.
Both Zips and Steamer projections have him someplace in between 50 and 55 ribbies on the whole year for about 380-ish plate appearances.
So 30 or so more than what he has right now. So then that leaves him with another like 60 next year.
That's tough. That's a stretch.
You know, he's 2 years removed from 101, but obviously that's in 636 plate appearances. Like, he was averaging 650 plate appearances over the last, like, 4 years.
Yeah.
Before last year. Obviously, like, a dramatic drop.
Well, they brought in Ohtani,
They brought in
right?
Ohtani last year, and so then, yeah, you got 150 plate appearances that disappear.
I wonder if we're almost at a place where Ohtani plays the outfield in the days where he's not pitching.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, he was a like fielding player. Like, he didn't just DH in the Japanese league.
Right. And I mean, if you look at his Japanese stats, even though like the advanced statistics are kind of locked off, there still is the ability to like go and check some of that stuff out. And
I don't know where like his UZR was.
His fielding is he's a plus fielder. He graded out as a plus fielder in Japan, which is a hitter's league, right? So that's tough. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand that the Angels want to protect their asset, but at the same time, like if the guy can actually help you,
yeah. And I mean, at the same time, they're locked into paying Pujols regardless.
Yeah, I guess it depends on whether or not they're, like, actually competing, right? Like, if they're not, like, I could see them giving him more at-bats just to try and hit a mark.
Right.
But if they are, then obviously you don't want him anywhere near the ball club, in actuality. Like, you kind of almost want to DFA him.
Yeah, and I guess that's a conversation that obviously, like, front office and the manager have about, like, the reality of where they're at, expectations for the season.
Yeah.
Utility of that, like wringing some money out of that contract rather than just like a dead ball cost.
Exactly.
I mean, at the moment they're 17-20, so they're a sub 500 team. A
lot of injuries, which I guess we should just expect from the Angels at this point in time.
I think we should expect from baseball at this point. I mean, with the 10-day IL, I see it on baseball Twitter. You know, a lot of players going to Illinois on the regular right now. And,
I like Illinois. Nice state.
Nothing wrong with it. It's a revolving door, and some people, you know, visit that state for an extended period of time. You know,
it's a good state.
Get a little rental property.
A little Airbnb on the reg.
A little Airbnb, and some people are just day trippers. But yeah, no, I mean, definitely the Angels have been hit with some injury bugs.
Did you hear what the Angels...
Although, I don't think expectations were all that hot for them.
No.
You know, sure, we've talked about, we didn't necessarily expect Trout. Seattle to do as well as doing, right. but we certainly expected Houston to be at the top of that Correct. Division, and that, you know, Oakland, they always surprise us. They
there
keep
was
it
a
interesting.
Path for the Angels to be good, though, right? With because they've got they have good players, right? If Upton was healthy, so Trout, Upton, Ohtani once he's back, Simmons, Fletcher, and a decent bullpen. There was a path, even Lucroy. There was a path for the Angels to be like a 85, 86 win team, sniffing the wild card. Like that path existed. They just again got. Really injured, which I guess we should just expect of the entire league at this point. There's not enough depth there. And Trout can't do it all on his own. We've kind of seen that. Like, the guy's on pace for, I think it's like 14 wins above replacement this year, which is nutty.
Yeah.
And they're still going to be below 500.
And it'll still be a question about whether he gets the MVP.
Which shouldn't be. The guy's the most valuable player in baseball. Like, it's the Connor McDavid argument, right? Like, he's just so much better than everybody else that everyone kind of dives into the mundanity of it. They're like, oh, well, you know, we can't keep voting for this guy for MVP, which is stupid. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. Give him the MVP every year. Like, how hard is that?
it's a tough slog. But, I mean, this is the, like, amorphous thing about what does most valuable mean to a team.
And did you hear what the Angels are and MLB did with the ball?
No. Okay, so you were talking to Jared before this, and correct. I happened to catch a little bit of it. I happened to be tied up in the production room before we got on air. So tell me.
So Pujols hits this RBI. It's a home run, right? It's 2,000th RBI. Guy in the stand catches it, and all he wants, allegedly, this is what he claims, right? So the story's probably someplace in the middle. He claims that all he wants is to meet Pujols and hand over the ball personally. Doesn't want anything else from it. He just wants to meet Pujols and hand over the ball personally. And the Major League Baseball staff and the Anaheim Angels and whatever, Los Angeles Angels staff that's dealing with it, treated him very poorly and said, no, we just want the ball. And so he said, no, I'm keeping the ball. You guys can go shove it. And Major League Baseball and the Angels are refusing to authenticate it. So he won't get that certificate of authenticity, which means he can never sell it. And, you know, people won't, like, 100 years from now.
They don't know the provenance of it. And it
right.
could be a fake.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's... That's a tough spot to be in, because you do want to, like, somewhat recoup off of, like, if you're going to give the ball up, right? Because, like, catching a home run ball of any sort in the ballpark is like,
well, there's
even
that,
if it was like Joe Schmo's like third home run of the year,
catching a ball,
I would
a big
still
deal.
Be thrilled to have that ball and really exactly. want to hold on to it.
Exactly.
So to then catch something that's like, you know, an historic ball,
that much history, yeah.
So the phone's ringing. I'm going to play a quick commercial and make sure that this is Zook calling on the bullpen before we put it on air.
All right, sounds good.
The Manitoba Chamber Orchestra's Vinyl Vault is Winnipeg's largest and cheapest record collection. From indie rock to funk, new wave to classical, there's something for every kind of music stomp. Records at $3 a pop, CDs even cheaper, and collectibles a specialty. Located in the basement of the Power Building at 428 Portage Avenue, Vinyl Vault is open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the last Saturday of every month. For more information about this monthly sale, or how to donate your used records to us, call 783-7377 or visit our website at themco.ca.
So that red light I saw was indeed the bullpen phone. Chris Zook joining us. How's it going, Chris?
Hello, everyone.
What's up, Zook?
So we were just talking about the fan who caught Albert Pujols' 2,000th RBI and the fact that MLB is refusing to authenticate it, playing a little hardball with this fan.
Yeah, they're refusing to authenticate it because he's not giving the ball back.
Okay, let me give you a quick story here. This is a true story, okay? I was at Yankee Stadium, the first ever game of the new stadium. This is no joke, okay? Home run, this was a preseason game against the Cubs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the ball, the first home run ever in Yankee Stadium came like two rows ahead of me in the bleachers, okay? The guy caught the ball, and he didn't know what to do with it. So the Yankees came up to him and said, hey, we want to, you know, we want to authenticate it, we want to get it. And the guy's like, no, I'm not giving you the ball. And the guy puts the ball in his pocket and walked away. I have no idea to this day if he still has the ball or not, but they were going to authenticate it. I don't understand. So MLB doesn't want to authenticate it because they don't want the fan to profit from the ball. Is that right?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
They want the ball.
Yeah, so they're trying to take away all his profitability from it. So the only people that they can, the only people he can sell it to is Major League Baseball.
Okay, but it's. It's finders keepers, isn't it? Like, sort of, he has the ball.
There
like,
is an actual law that exists in America from 1920 that rules that the ball is the fans. Whoever catches it, that's their property.
Okay, that's right.
And finders keepers, major league weepers.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is MLB. Another great public affairs here, you know, relations. Yeah.
Just classic Major League Baseball.
Like, what? Like, I mean, mind you, again, I guess no bad press is still better than any press, but this is not what you want to talk about.
No.
You want to talk about Pujols getting a record.
I don't know if no press is better than bad press. Like, Major League Baseball seems to put their foot in their mouth on the rig, right?
I mean, that's a...
And that's what they're known for at this
correct.
Point.
Yeah. And that's a great transition to the Addie Russell thing.
Okay, yes, I was going to say that does bring us to Addison Russell, who made his major league debut earlier this week to a interesting response on the field.
Cacophony of boos. He actually responded to it, eh? So there's a quote from Addison Russell about it, and I'm gonna read it out, and we're gonna just chuckle at the absurdity of it.
Okay.
Quote. If hometown fans want to boo someone that's trying to bring the team a World Series, then that's on them. End quote. Yeah, bud. I'm sure that's exactly the reason why they're booing you.
So he's being serious when he says that?
Like dead serious. Yeah, he's not kidding. It seems like he's learned nothing from any of the situation that he
right,
got well, involved
this,
in.
This goes into the people living in bubbles, right? I mean, they're just no clue. That's the whole point of you were actually supposed to be penalized for what you did. And
not enough, mind you.
Should learn from it, right? There should be a learning lesson in there. But I guess this day and age, should we expect anything less?
This is the world of those non-apologies, right? Like yeah. an act
oh,
of contrition
apology.
That has no legitimacy to it. And that's essentially what we've had from him. And like, just because I hope my team wins the World Series does not mean I will stand for certain behaviors from the players who are helping to achieve that.
No,
goal.
Exactly. Like, I'm a Jays fan. I stopped cheering for Kevin Pillar after he dropped the F-bomb. Like, I'm not okay with that.
And also Roberto Osuna, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I wanted him.
That, you know, like, so when he went to the Astros, the fans weren't happy with that either.
I came on this show and said I wanted him off the team, that I didn't care if he could help them win baseball games. I didn't want that player on my team. And the same thing exists if I'm a Cubs fan, right? I do not want that player on my team. Major League Baseball did something stupid again, like even only giving him 40 games, right? Robbie Cano, a generally good human being, a nice person, spends a lot of his time donated to charity, is said to be a good locker room presence, a good person, gets suspended 80 games for a PED, which he should, and the playoffs. Addison Russell beats up his significant other, doesn't get any jail time, gets suspended 40 games, and can play in the playoffs? Something about that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know about you guys, but that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Like you shouldn't get less games for something that is a far, far, far more serious crime in real life and actually harm somebody else than using a PED, which granted I don't necessarily agree with, but is a far lesser offense in my opinion than abusing your significant other.
I think the thing is like they're trying to police what happens on the field. And somewhat like stand away from what happens off the field, and we've seen this with the NFL as well, where they
it's brutal.
You know, come down on
Josh Gordon gets suspended a year for smoking weed. Kareem Hunt gets what, 3 games?
Four, I think it was.
And not only that, he gets to go back another team.
That's ridiculous.
You know, like he gets to play again. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how you want to police one part of lifestyle but not another part, right? Like, it's either you just don't care about any of it and you just let it go, or you actually do what society does and say that's not right and we don't want this in the game.
The statement,
and you actually suspend it in the you know, for actually a more of a reasonable number than 40 games.
So the statement you read from Addison Russell, like, especially irritates me because it's like he works under the assumption that just because I wear this Chicago Cubs uniform, you should cheer for me.
Yeah.
Regardless of what I do or who I
am. It's ridiculous.
And, like, that is such hubris.
It's like he didn't learn anything.
To me, like, if I did something wrong, I should expect ramifications for that.
Exactly, yeah.
And because I'm a public figure on this team that people root for, they have, like, a legitimate gripe against me being on the field for their team because of what I did.
Yeah.
Right. So Jared just joined us in studio because I know this is an issue that we've talked about, like, kind of not necessarily this specific instance, but other things around these kinds of instances. I know we talked about Greg Zahn last year and, you know,
don't like him.
No.
Bad behaviors in baseball culture. Jared, what do you want to?
Hi, Chris Suk.
Hello, Jared. How are you doing?
I'm good. So
good.
I've got, just because you brought up the Addison Russell thing, I wanted to get your take, your guys' take, on the proposed hypocrisy and a lot of the online chatter this past week going on about the Cubs organization, because I don't know if you saw, but on one of their TV broadcasts, somebody came up, one of their fans came up behind Doug Glanville and threw up a racist hand gesture. And the team, like, good for them.
They came down on it.
Came down on it super hard. The guy, the fan in question, was identified and has been banned
from Wrigley.
From Wrigley for life.
That's good.
Which is good. But then the next day, they announced that Russell can come back and play.
I know
that it's not. It's two completely different instances. But you're saying, okay, so inherent racism and hate is wrong. And last year with Russell, the abuse allegations and everything, that's wrong too. However, he went down to Iowa for a couple of weeks. He's been with the team. He was with the team in spring training. Like, they had the option this past year over the winter. Russell's contract was up. They did not have to tender him an offer, but they said, you know what? This guy's got a lot of talent. He's been one of our young up-and-comers within this core, and if we don't let him go, or if we don't sign him and we let him walk, somebody else is going to pick him up. They know that somebody else is going to pick him up. It's the Kareem Hunt situation,
sure.
Right? Somebody else is going to pick him up
let them pick him up then. But
well,
don't you, like,
and this
as,
is
as an organization, if you want to stand strong at one, shouldn't you stand strong at the other?
Exactly,
because he can help you on the field, and that's a different story.
But
that
what,
fan can't help you.
They should have treated him like the Jays treated Osuna.
A principle isn't a principle if it's situational.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it what's interesting to me too is, like, because you mentioned Kareem Hunt, is that. It was, at the time, you know, like, you're thinking about it, and it's just like, okay, so what team is going to sign Kareem Hunt? Of course it's the Cleveland Browns, right? Because it's the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL. It's a total Browns thing to do. But at the time, it totally flew in the face of everything that they say they're doing. That they're cleaning house, that they're going to start doing things in the right way. But then
it's
allure.
It's a Washington professional football.
Oh yeah,
move.
Well,
the flying in the face of everyone else's.
But
opinion.
It's just like, well, if the carrot that we dangle in front of the donkey is big enough and fat enough, then
it's venture capitalism.
Yes,
there are people
at the end of the day, it's a business, and they don't care about the bottom line,
which is ridiculous. I don't know, man. I just think that people who own and run businesses should have a little bit more. Principle than that, should have a little bit more, should just be better people in general. I know they're not, but there are not enough owners in the world that are good like that are good people that are willing to do good things. They care more about the money.
So then to get to that point, in the private sector, if you were to own a business, right, you're getting rid of the racist employee. You're also getting rid of the employee who beats on his significant other.
Actually, you absolutely are.
Right?
They're both getting fired.
So then why can't professional sports, where they are these businesses that the general populace seems to gravitate towards, little kids see athletes as role models, why can't
monopolies?
They collectively get together and say, no, you know what? Uniformly across the board, we want to clean this up. We want to change this. And I think that part of the problem is that you're dealing with a lot of owners who are very old school, old money, white.
Yeah.
Don't.
Right.
Right.
A lot
and
of
it's
Trump
just.
Voters.
And
whole lot of Trump voters.
A lot of Trump
but they're
voters.
Also, they're also all about the bottom line because they have no problem collectively getting together and collude so they can stop players from getting, you know, good contracts.
I was going to say, we heard about the championship belt that they award a team for holding down the free agency.
The arbitration.
Cost.
Yeah. And I don't even want to talk about that because.
It's disgusting.
The ownership group of my team. Has
probably
made me
holder.
For the first time in 36, 37 years of fandom has actually made me think about switching allegiance to a team that actually cares about something other than the bottom line, putting a decent product on the field.
Oh, it's because of that that Frankie Lindor comment where he said, we'll see.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, good luck, Jared Fine. I don't know how many of them.
It was enjoy it. That was the comment. Yeah. Well, somebody asked if they were going to lock up Frankie long term, and he said, "Well, enjoy him while you got him."
Yeah, like, but the thing is that Cleveland is in the same boat as Pittsburgh, is in the same boat as Milwaukee, is in the same boat as a number of Cincinnati.
I bet Cleveland would be one of the teams that would have picked up Addie Russell, knowing that Frankie Lindor was hurt and going to miss the start of the season. Yeah.
No, because they would have had to pay him more than a league minimum, and they would have had to guarantee his contract.
Well, I think the point is, if they can collude to collectively decide to depress arbitration
they could have colluded
costs, they can
to
decide as a group to say, you know what, you have a domestic assault, you have a spousal abuse charge against you, you're off the active roster.
You don't get signed to an MLB roster. It's pretty easy.
Well,
you can make a policy of that.
And I mean,
quick.
you can look over the last 4 or 5 years at the teams that have had players on their team that have run into the same situation, and you can sort of draw a line in the sand. And it's just like the teams that would go after Addison Russell immediately, you know, the New York Yankees come to mind. I mean, they've got at least one guy. Two guys who have domestic violence issues.
Carlos Chapman and who's the other one?
Chapman for sure.
I thought that they had somebody else who.
Yeah,
exactly.
Still one too many.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, we're fired up about this. I'm sure in about 2 minutes you're going to hear other stuff that'll get you fired up when you listen to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, because Lord knows. The world news is not necessarily great news, but good news. The Goldeyes preseason has started already. They won 2 against Fargo here in town. They go down to play in Fargo at Newman Outdoor Field tonight. First pitch is 6 p.m. And our friends over at CJNU have the call. So if you want to tune in and check that game out. And
single regular season tickets are on sale. Home opener is May 24th.
I'll be there. Hopefully you guys will too.
That's versus the Kansas City T-Bones. They open the season on the road as they usually do with a...
You guys going to see Zambrano when he comes?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh,
me too.
Of course. I can't wait to see the
I
Big
see
Z.
I want to see him and Palmeiro. Those are the two big ticket draws for me.
All right. That's it for the Ben Shockeys. Thanks for calling in, Chris. Thanks for joining us, Jared. And stick around for Democracy Now!